up in the eyes of my heart. Eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope you have come to see him this evening. Amen. He's here to see you. Amen. He's seeing you through. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Appreciate each and every one of us. Each and every one of you praying for us while we were away. We were up in Dayton, Ohio at Brother Mike Siebert's there. And he sends his greetings to each one of you. Amen. Brother Mike is about 76 years old. And he just has all kinds of testimonies, and you can just listen to him talk all day long. He said he counted the times that he'd been to Brother Branham's meetings, and it was about 40. The majority of them were at the Tabernacle. So he has a lot of good testimonies, and so we had a good time there. Also wanted to mention before we read the word, I wanted to, if you all haven't looked at the new website of the church, you should go and see it. And Brother Joe did a wonderful job on it, and it's excellent job. So, and it, you know, it took him a while to get it going, but it was a lot of material. So you just thank him next time you see him. When you see him, and say thank you. It's more streamlined, and it's easier to find things, and it's better to view even the sermons now. So just thank him for that. We appreciate his hard labor on that. And I also wanted to thank Brother Ryan also. He sent out a little testimony out in the mail. Maybe some of you parents may have received it. And it was several sheets. It was pretty lengthy. But you should take time to read that. It's the testimony of how him and his wife, you know, how they courted and how God has blessed that. Amen. And it's something that really, especially for our young people, you know, they should really consider even reading. And I encourage you parents to encourage your young people to read it, because I will tell you what, I believe the hand of God is, they've been blessed.
Amen.
When you do things the right way, young people, when you court the right way, when you don't go ahead of the plan of God, you're going to have a good marriage.
Right. Amen.
Because you did things the right way.
Right.
And I believe God has blessed Brother Ryan and Sister Gabby in a great way, because they did things the right way. They put God in front of their lives and before them, and they still do. So I encourage you to read that and really consider. And we appreciate Brother Ryan doing that, taking it, because I'm sure that took a long time to do.
Oh, yeah.
That took a long time to do. So I wanted to get those two things out there. And so before we read the word, so let's turn to the scriptures this evening. We want to go to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. And I wanted to revisit this message again from when I preached last month about the Tree of Life. I've just been looking at it a little bit more, and just the Lord has been working with me on that. And last time when I preached, I didn't get to show some of the quotes and some of the things, and so I wanted to go into a little bit more detail with it. So if you feel like, well, I've already heard this, well, you could hear it again, and you'll get a double portion. You're going to receive what attitude you have towards the Word, that's how you're going to receive the Word. So this is how the Lord, I felt led to go. So you just pray for me this evening, amen? So let's just bow our heads before we read the Word. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord Jesus. We thank You once again for the opportunity that You give us, Lord, to open back the pages of Your Word, Father. We know that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. You don't get old, Lord Jesus. We in our minds may think, Father God, things get old, things are the same, ho-hum, and things like that. But Lord God, to You, Father God, You are the same, Lord. You're eternal. It's the same life, Lord God, from beginning to end, Lord Jesus. And we thank You for that. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for our sins. If there would be anything that would hinder the service, Lord, may You forgive us, place it under the blood of Jesus Christ, for we know that under that blood there's power, Father. And Lord, we ask now that You would just help us, Lord, and help us to understand this material, this word, Lord God. Let it not just be, Father God, head knowledge to our heads, Lord, but Father God, let us look into it closely and apply it to our lives, Lord, for the time is at hand, Father God. And I believe that, and I know my brethren believe it with all their hearts, Lord. We commit ourselves now unto You, and we thank You, Father God, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, and then verses 15 through 17, it says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. So he had eternal life in that soul, right? And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. This is verse 15. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now let's read Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. It says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, watch, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. Amen. Amen. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Glory.
Amen. You may be seated this evening. What a privilege, amen, in this hour that we have access to the tree of life in this hour. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe that with all our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The word has come in our day. The God has done what more can He do, as the song says? What more can He do? There's nothing more. There's nothing else that you can do. Now it's in your lap. What are you going to do with that word?
Right,
what are you going to do with this Christ? Amen. What are you going to do with Him in your life? Amen. Do you want more of Him that you may obtain a full inheritance or a full redemption of not just your soul, but of your body? Amen. Because that's what we're looking forward to in this hour. Amen. Of the redemption. We have our souls redeemed. Amen. We have eternal life in our soul, but now we're waiting for eternal life for our bodies. Amen. Something that Adam had the opportunity to obtain, but did not obtain. But through our Lord Jesus Christ, we were able to. We're able to in this hour. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So last time we were talking about, and I had called the message, All Access Granted. And the reason why I called it that is because it is open, full access to that tree in this hour. And if you don't partake of the tree, it's not God's fault. It's your fault that you don't obtain the benefits of the tree. Amen.
Amen.
Because it's all access. Amen. And I gave the example of when you And nowadays, when we try to access something on the computer, or when you're trying to access something on your phone, you see, and you try to open up your phone, maybe you have to put a certain password in. Well, if you're putting your a wrong password in, or if it's not recognizing your face because it's not your face,
right.
or you got a beard on your face. Just messing around, Brother Bob. But if it doesn't recognize you, you won't have access to what you need to obtain inside your phone, right? Or tablet or whatever. And same thing with God, amen. If he doesn't recognize his own image, amen, by the word, through his word, amen. If he doesn't recognize himself, amen, you can't access anything of his benefits in your life, amen. He's not going to recognize your deeds, your own deeds. He's not going to recognize what you can do, amen. But he's only recognizes what Christ can do or what he has already done through your life. And if you're dependent on that, amen, then he can bless you and you have full access to his word, amen. Full access to his benefits, full access to his blessings. Praise God. Amen. When you type in that password in and you get access, amen, you have full access to everything. Supposedly, I mean, nowadays you got all these different roles and all these different things now with computers. So, but that's the whole line of thinking of that. Now, the word access, it means permission, liberty, or ability to enter or approach, or pass to and from a place, or to approach or communicate with a person or a thing.
Yeah.
I like that. To communicate with a person or thing. Freedom or ability to obtain or make use of something.
Right.
Amen. God has given us freedom in this hour. Amen.
Yes.
Through him. Amen.
Right.
A way of me or means of entering or approaching.
Right.
Amen. We appreciate him for what he's done. And amen. And we have so much to be thankful for in this hour. Amen.
Amen.
Because, hey man, he's taking care of it.
Yes.
He's taking care of it. And if we could just get into that.
Right.
Man, if we could just get into that. You know, I realize now more and more that, you know, it really in this hour, it has to take a revelation for anybody to get the Word of God.
Right.
If you don't get a revelation, you're not going to understand the Word of God.
Right.
I've just come down with people that I've talked to in the last few days, even someone at work that I was talking to yesterday. And I was just telling him plainly about the message of the hour and just testifying to him pretty much. Talked for about an hour. And it just boils down to if it's not open to you, you're not going to understand it. And you can still be coming to this church here or any other message church for that matter. And if you don't get what's going on, it's because it hasn't been revealed to you. It just boils down to that. And you need to pray, and we need to pray for revelation. Brother Branham said revelation is the greatest thing that the church can have. Amen. If the Word of God is not revealed to you, it's going to be boring to you every single time you come to church. And I don't blame you because you don't understand it. You haven't seen the whole picture. But to us that have seen the whole picture, we don't have an excuse to just sit there and just, you know, amen. We got to serve God, amen. We have the full access open, amen, to us. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So what is this tree of life, amen? And we talked about how this tree, the word, the phrase, the tree of life is mentioned 6 times in the Bible. Only 6 times, the phrase, the tree of life. Now, you have the phrase, a tree of life, that's mentioned a few times, and you see that in Proverbs and also like in Psalms. You see the phrase, a tree of life.
Yeah.
But only 6 times you find in the Bible where it says, the tree of life. And in these 6 times, 3 times is mentioned in Genesis, 3 times is mentioned in Revelation.
Glory.
Praise God. Now, Brother Branham talks about this. You go back and read this in the Church Age book. That's where I got all that from. But he talks about that. And so these two books are the two books that Satan attacks the most. The book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. So if he attacks both of these books the most, then what is it that he's trying to keep us away from?
Right.
You see? The way has been open to the tree of life, but he is trying to keep us away from that tree of life.
Right.
You see? Now, Brother Branham says in the Church Age book, he says, have you ever noticed how Satan hates two books of the Bible more than all others? Through liberal theologians and pseudoscientists, he is always attacking the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. In both of these books, we find Satan's origin, his awful ways, and his destruction. He doesn't like to be reminded about what his end will be. I wouldn't either if I was in his shoes. You know? That is why he attacks them. He hates to be exposed. And in those books, he is exposed for exactly what he is. Have you ever noticed that when you expose something in somebody's life, they personally start attacking you? When you bring something to light, they immediately the attacks go on you. And you start getting personally attacked, and you start getting called names, and you're this, that, and the other. Why? That's exactly what Satan's doing, because he's being exposed. Jesus said about Satan, he has no part in me, and I have no part in him. The devil would like to prove that different, but he cannot. So he does all he can to destroy confidence in the word.
Right.
That's what he's trying to do in this hour. And he's doing it. He's working overtime.
Oh, yeah.
I've always said he does his job better than we do ours.
Right.
He's 24/7 a devil, and he does a good job at it.
Right, man.
And I salute him for that. But you and I, what are we doing? When we have access to this full word, and we get lazy, and we get laxed, and we get nonchalant, and we forget where we've come from and where we're going to. Remember, God has also told us where we're going, what our end will be. Amen. That should excite us. That should make us to act. Just as Satan acts because he knows what his end is, the Word of God should make us act because we know where we're going.
Right.
We know the story. We know how the book ends. And in reality, the book doesn't end. The book will continue. Amen.
Right.
Continue for eternity. It's a life.
Right.
But when the church, watch this now, but when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the Spirit's revelation of the Word, the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. All right, I'm going to read that again. But when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the Spirit's revelation of the word, the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. You notice how what he said there, that believes the revelation of the word. Not just believe the word, but the revelation of the word. Because you can believe the word. Many a drunk out here can believe the word, but may not believe the revelation of the word. And that's two different things. Remember, revelation will cause you to act. Revelation will cause you to live a certain way. Amen. When you know beyond a shadow of doubt that something about yourself that he said about you, when you know beyond the shadow of the doubt, something in your life, amen. There's nothing that can take that away from you.
Right.
You saw it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what revelation is.
Yeah,
praise God. Amen. So we see that phrase, the tree of life, is mentioned in the Bible 6 times. And we talked about how it's interesting, you know, that this is 6 times this phrase is mentioned in the Bible. 3 in Genesis, 3 in Revelation, the number 6 being the number of man. Very interesting. Amen. And we know that if you know the numerology, amen, in the Bible, the number 3 is perfection. The number 5 means grace. The number 7 is completeness or completion. The number 8 means new life, resurrection, new beginning, eternal life. Amen. And so in between there, the number 6, which is the number of man. So that means, amen, that this tree of life has a relation to man. Praise God. Has a relation to man. Even the tree of knowledge of good and evil has a relation to man as well. Brother Branham mentions that in the message. And so in all six of these places, amen, we talked about how in all six of these places, it signifies the same thing. It's a person. The tree of life is a person, amen?
Glory.
We'll go into a little bit more detail about this. You know, Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and he shall be planted like a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, that's an example of the Bible mentioning planted like a he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's just one example of where God talks about man being a tree. Amen.
Right.
The other example we gave was when Jesus healed that blind man. And he said, and when he opened his eyes, he said, I see man as trees, you see.
Right.
So God is always typing man to trees, amen?
Amen.
We represent trees, and even to wood. If you look in the scriptures and you look at wood and even the things, the wood that Noah used, amen, and for the boat and all that, that all types humanity, you see.
Right.
Types man. So we could go all day with that, but we'll maybe touch that some other time. So this tree of life, amen, we know that it's a person. And this person, amen, is the originator of life.
Right.
That this tree of life is, amen. The originator of is the source of all life, amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we serve the God who is the source of all life.
Glory.
Amen. All life. Man, it's not, you know, the God that the Mohammedans worship, amen, that six-armed God, I think is Sheba or whatever the name is, that's not the source of all life.
Right.
Maybe they might think that, but that's not the source of all life, you know. Whatever God you may have out there, you know, and you can have a God out of anything.
Right.
Denominations can be a God in your life, amen,
sure.
But that's not the source of life.
Right.
And you knew that, you know that, amen, if you ever were out in denominations. I mean, I was out in almost seven of them. That's why I say I went through the seven church ages before I came to the message. Amen. There was no life there. I just followed my mom and dad wherever they went. But I always say it was just God trying to deal with them and leading them to truth. Amen. There's no life in politics. Goodness gracious, we can see that this year more than ever. How now more than ever, I realize what Brother Branham said in the 1960s about politics. I mean, that right there just clinches the nail on that. It is rotten to the core. You don't even know what to believe. I got people telling me now, I don't even know what to believe now. I don't even know what to. I said, well, trust the word. You see, that's exactly what God is trying to. God is allowing all these things so that we can stop putting our confidence on these politics, all these politicians, on Trump and Biden's and all these people. I have no confidence in that. They all will fail you. Amen. We see that they've failed. The Word of God has never failed you, though. So go back to the Word. Go back to the tree of life that's open. Go back to that.
Amen.
Politics will fail you. Sports will fail you. There's no life in sports. I mean, those sports stars now, I mean, they're bowing their knee just like to the politics, you know, and to all these systems that they got going, you know, now just bowing their knee in, and then they'll do whatever because they get paid by them, you know. They just do whatever they tell them to do. I don't know, you know, in their heart if they believe what they do. But they bow their knees anyways. Amen. There's no life in partying, alcohol, drugs. You know, those of you who have gone through those lives, there's no life in that. I remember that story where Brother Branham saw that lady, you know, that young girl, she was half naked through the hotel lobby or through the hotel aisle. And she was talking with some beer in her hand and screaming, oh, whoopee, this is life. And he said, that's death. That's death. Yet they think it's life. There's no life in sexual things. You know? Those of you who are married and you know, all that passes. The only life is in Christ. The only true enjoyment is in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So John chapter 6 through 8, amen, declares to us, Jesus there was declaring to us that he is that source of eternal life. Amen. He called himself the bread of heaven and the water of life. Amen. Amen. Because if we drink from him, you would live forever. Amen. Praise God. And so this life is in his son. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it states, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his son. That's why you have to be in him. And when you're in him, he's in you. Amen. And when he's in you, you're in him. Praise God. He that hath the son, verse 12, he that hath the son hath life. You see? There's no space there. There's no room there for politics or anything. He that hath the son hath life. And he that hath not the son of God hath not life. Amen. I can't make it be more clear than that. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for that? The two trees. Amen. The two trees. And let's talk about these two trees here for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Now, I want you to notice, amen, maybe for those who are just coming in, you know, and trying to understand this word. Every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Now, notice, he differentiates between those two trees, between the trees that were good for food. And then he goes in and says, and there's a semicolon. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Amen. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right. Amen. Right. So there was trees in there that were good for food. Right. But then there was also a tree in there that was the tree of life.
Right.
That was totally different from these trees.
Right.
You see? And then this tree, amen, was totally different from this tree
right.
as well.
Amen.
Praise God. So we want to make sure that we understand that those two trees were persons. Amen. Because those trees were in the were they're standing. They were in the midst of the garden. Amen. The tree of life was a person. Then if the tree of life was a person, then logically that must mean that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a person, too.
Right.
You believe that? I mean, Brother Brown taught all these things. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13 tells us, talking about Satan, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Amen. Satan was in the garden of Eden. Obviously, he anointed the serpent to do what he did. Amen. Praise God. So man was to live. Amen. They were the food that they ate at that time from those trees was not to fill their bellies and for them to live.
Right.
It was just for their enjoyment.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
It wasn't for like the way we eat now. Amen. You know that we got, oh, I'm so hungry. You know, I can't, you know, I was so hungry the other day. We got to use that Texas Roadhouse card, brother Wade. Brother Wade gave us a little Texas Roadhouse gift card for Christmas. I guess he gave to all the Sunday school. But got to use it on Monday in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was hungry. We had been driving already maybe 5 hours or so. And I was hungry. But I was waiting out. I was holding off. And when I got there, you know, we had me some good, I don't even forget what I ate, but it was good, though. So good, and we had leftovers for the next day. But what was funny is that what Christine ordered was almost just as much as the gift card was. Again, she ordered a big old rack of ribs. And I was telling a server there in Panama City, Florida, the other day, I said, you know, my wife orders the big plates. And when they come and serve, the server comes and gives us the food. He always gives me the big plate, thinking that I was the one to order it. But it's really her. I'm the one who ordered the smaller one. But she does it because she wants to, she shares it with Zoe. And so it all works out. But anyways, so Adam was not to eat to survive, right? We know that. Today we eat to survive. But he was to continue to eat from that tree of life. Amen. All right? From that person. Just as we are supposed to continue eating from that tree of life to even today. Amen. Now remember, Adam was not eternal in his body. Adam only had eternal life in his soul. Therefore, there was a purpose for him to continually eat off the tree of life. Amen. Just as we, as born again Christians, we have eternal life in our soul. We're not eternal on the outside or spirit. But if we continue to eat from the tree of life, we're heading to that body change. Amen. Praise God. Just as Adam was supposed to go there. Amen. Now, Brother Bram says in the message in the Ephesian Church Age, watch, he says this: God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. Wow, this is the intention of God. In Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by. Right? He was given the tree of life to live by, because the tree of life is the word, and the word is Christ. A life lived by the word would be the word expressed. Amen. I'd like to read that again. A life lived by the word would be the word expressed. Amen. When you are living the word, amen. When you're expressing the word, that means you're expressing the expressed God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, is that true or not? But did Adam live by that word? No, because he was to live by every word, and he failed to take heed to every word. Amen. He gave up his inheritance. He gave up his right to the tree of life. Amen. To do what he did, and we know what happened there in the story. Amen. So we are to be living, amen, by the every word, in order to truly be the word expressed. Not just part word, not just half word, not just what you like of the word. It has to be a full word in this hour in order for us to obtain a full inheritance or a full redemption. All right? I want us to get that again. It's got to be the full word in order for us to obtain a full redemption. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Now, God wants this more. He wants this badly, just as much as you and I want it. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, I'm not reading the whole thing, but watch the things that he says in these verses. He says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He wants us to obtain that. He wants us to be blameless. We're the ones who sometimes condemn ourselves and keep condemning ourselves and keep bringing ourselves down. And we can't do it. And I can't do it. I can't live this Christian life. I can't. When God is rooting for you all the whole time. He's got more grace than you could ever imagine that he has. Praise God, because he knows you love him and he knows that your desire is for him. Even though you're in this fallen condition. See, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Listen, in verse 5 there, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. It doesn't say that he will predestinate us. Having predestinated us in the past. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Not to another. And then verse 6 talks about wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Glory.
I like how Paul words it, because it's all past tense.
Right.
Hath accepted.
Right.
Hath done. It's already taken care of.
Glory.
You're the one who stops that from working in your life.
Right.
It's you and I. But to God, it's already done. As the song goes, it's already done. Amen. Verse 7, in whom we have, present tense, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 8 talks about he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I just hear positivity the whole time. I don't hear any negativity about you and I. So why are we being negative towards each other? Once we should be negative towards the devil. Amen. Having made known unto us the mystery. Listen. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Amen. We have an open book in this hour. It's not a closed book. It's an open book, as John was given in Revelation chapter 10. And John types the bride. Amen. Verse 10, it says, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. See, you're part of all those things. Amen. And verse 11 there says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Again, being predestinated. Being predestinated. Amen. So I read that and I just read positivity. You know, that right there is those books that, you know, that you try to be, you know, get positivity from and all this. There's my positivity word for the day right there. My I forgot what they call it. I can't remember when you say something and you speak. Yeah. Positive thinking. There you go. That's more than positive thinking to me. That's positive living right there. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So Adam had eternal life in his soul. Now let's keep this in mind, but not eternal life in his body. All right. Remember that. He had eternal life in his soul, but not in his body. So in order for Adam, amen, to obtain eternal life in his body, amen, he had to continue eating from that tree of life. Praise God. Amen. And so, see, Adam and Eve, they fell from their original estate. Right? They were supposed to continue. If they kept eating. God told them, amen, that if that day that you eat thereof, amen, that day you will surely die. Now, of that day that they would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not from the tree of life. Amen. They would keep living from the tree of life, but it's from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they would die that day. Now, did they literally die? No. Amen. But their bodies started to die for sure. Amen. Their bodies started to die. Now, they also died spiritually, but now you have to watch how you say that too. Because they did not lose eternal life in their soul. Amen. They still kept eternal life in their soul. Now, I want to read a quote here where Brother Branham talks about that. Amen. They still had eternal life in their soul, but they lost that relationship with God. Just as if you're walking with Christ and then you start devving with the things of the world and you start going into living for yourself, your relationship with Christ is going to suffer. Your relationship from that tree of life becomes further and further away from you. Now that tree is not closer and closer to you. You're getting away from that tree. But that tree stays still where you last left it. And wherever you last left it, if you go back to it, that's where you'll find it. You see? But that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They died spiritually. That's why they went and hid. They said, God was saying, where art thou, Adam? Adam, where art thou? It's not that he didn't know where Adam was. He knew where Adam was. Brother Branham says that he wanted to make sure that Adam knew where he was at. In what position and what condition he was in. And when you recognize what condition you're in, amen, then God can help you. But if you don't recognize where in the position and in the condition that you're in, and you think that you're doing good and you're living okay, when in reality you know that you need him, he can't help you. Because remember, he doesn't force you to do anything that you don't want to do. That's why he gave us free moral agency. You decide. And according to your desire, that's how he'll do. Amen. But I'm so thankful for predestination. Amen. Because by predestination, amen, he'll make sure that the way will be provided, that you come to it. Amen. Praise God. That you make the right decision. Amen. So remember, the fact that Adam and Eve died spiritually, that did not take that eternal life that they already had in their soul. Amen. Amen. That's why Adam, he continued to be the son of God. Amen. Amen. But he did not come to that redemption of that body. But you see, it was in God's plan for it to be that way. Now, I want to read here a quote, and if the brothers could bring it up, blasphemous names, Brother Branham says here, see, if you've got life without end, how can you perish?
Right.
You have become a part of the eternal, and there's only one thing eternal.
Right.
But Satan is not eternal. Yeah, I'm so thankful for that. That's why he's not your brother. No, he becomes Satan. Hell is not eternal. Amen. Hell was created. It's not eternal. And watch. And these bodies are not eternal. Referring to our body, our physical bodies, they were created. Amen. They were created. But the Spirit of God is eternal. It never had a beginning, or it never has an end. And the only way we can have eternal life, from the Greek word zoe, which means God's own life, we become a part of God when we become sons and daughters of God, and we have aneos life. So the part that lives us, that recognizes this word from here to there, that recognizes aneos life, life without end, it's God's own life in us. Amen. Now watch this. But what God did, he breathed the breath of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Then he become a living soul. Watch, a soul that can't die.
Exactly.
See, a soul that can't die.
Right.
Now watch now, we're going to get into honey plumb to your elbows, he says.
Right.
Notice, he breathed the breath of eternal life into his nostrils,
right,
into Adam's nostrils, and he became an eternal soul. Because God breathed not what nature done, but what God did. Watch. He breathed the breath of eternal life into his nostrils, and he become a living soul. So that is what gave God, Adam, an eternal soul. Right? Are we together on that? Now watch what Brother Branham says. Then you say to me, Adam died, Brother Branham. But remember, before Adam died, he had a lamb that redeemed him. Amen. Before Adam died, he had a lamb that redeemed him. Those who he foreknew, he has called. He got a lamb to redeem them. He was a type. Adam fell. Watch. Then the lamb was provided for Adam, because already in his nostrils had become the breath of eternal God, and he become a living soul. He was a son of God.
Amen.
Amen. So Adam had eternal life, amen, in his soul. When he fell, he did not lose his eternal life in his soul. Why? Because the lamb was already slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. The lamb, Jesus Christ. Or in other words, but here's the thing. It wasn't physically slain. It was in the mind of God.
Right.
But eventually it would come to pass.
Exactly right.
See, in the mind of God, when things happen, it's like it's already done.
Right.
And it's connected to that eternal life.
Exactly right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why Adam could not fall from eternal life in his soul, because it was already God. How could God breathe eternal life into him, to his soul,
right,
and then he takes away his eternal life? That's what Brother Graham said. It'd be like an Indian giver. When I give you a gift, if you give me a gift, amen, you gave it to me. You didn't let me borrow it. That's why it's called a gift. You gave it to me. You didn't let me borrow the gift. So you can't ask me, let me have my gift back, because it's not your gift. It's my gift. And same thing with God. Amen. He gave you eternal life in your soul. So he's not going to take it back because it's yours, because it's connected to him. Amen. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what Brother Brandon was talking about? And I believe Brother Dell has been bringing this out too. Brother Dell, I think we've been kind of in the same line, because this right here, I had to preach to some believers in 2 weeks ago in Europe. I preached online and to some believers in Portugal and Spain and Germany. And so I went on the same line. But before I started, I started looking at this, and I found that quote, because I thought maybe that they might stumble on this. I said, Lord, let me find something that would point that the lamb was slain before, and that's why Adam could not lose his eternal life in his soul. And I came down exactly to this quote. And then coming back from Ohio, amen, and Brother Dale's, I was listening to the services, and Brother Dale's preaching about the same exact thing. Amen. So I just thank God for that. Amen. It's the word. Amen. Praise God. To me, that opens up the picture even more, further. And it should to you. Don't look at it just quotes. Look at it as life. If you just keep, he's just reading quotes, and he just keeps reading quotes, but you're not reading the quotes. You're just looking at them. Right. Read the quotes, and I believe it'll change you. Right. You want to understand the word, right? You want to understand the word, right?
Right?
I don't know of anyone here that does not want to understand the word even further. Right. Not just understand it, but have it revealed to you.
Right.
Well, you have to pay attention in order for there to be a revelation.
Right.
Pay attention so that you may obtain revelation. Amen. Praise God. So Adam and Eve, we see that eventually they got ahead of the plan of God. You see, they got ahead of the plan of God. And the same thing with you and I. When you get ahead of God's plan, when you start reasoning with God's word, amen, there's nothing but death after that. You see what happened with Eve, amen, when she started reasoning with God's word, when Satan came to her through the serpent and said, thou shalt not surely die.
Right.
All he did was added one word in there.
Exactly.
Satan never comes to you with 40% truth and the rest of it lie. He always comes to you with 99.9% truth. It's that little percentage that's deceiving and that causes you to reason the word,
right,
if you're not careful.
Right.
If you're not careful. In this hour, we are living in an hour where people are being fed that little 0.1%.
Right.
And that's causing them to reason things out.
Yeah.
That's why what Brother Wade's been preaching, you know, that this thing's so close. That it'll deceive the very elected if it was possible.
Right.
These two trees in the garden mingled with each other.
Right.
You see, there was an Adam, there was a Cain and an Abel. You see, there was a Jacob and an Esau in the Bible, very close. Then they even come to Jesus and Judas, so close. No, you couldn't tell that Judas was a devil. Even though Jesus had already said that there was a devil amongst them. He said, I chose you 12 and one of you is a devil, he said. But you can't tell which one was the devil. Same thing today. You can't tell which one is the devil. You'll be able to tell when you discern that person is off 0.1% of the word. Remember, it has to be full word. In order to obtain a full redemption, not 99.9% word. It has to be 100% word. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And same thing with. And I just want to interject this, because we have our young people today and young people in this church that are seeking marriage in their life right now. Maybe going through those stages in life. And I want to encourage you to be careful. All right? To be careful the choices that you make. It's you, by you having, you know, feeling that you want a partner in life and having those desires, that's all very normal. There's nothing bad about that. None of that is bad and none of that is abnormal. And each and every one of us went through those same stages in life as brothers and as sisters. Nothing wrong with that. But it's what you do and it's what you allow for those feelings to take over you. And that you get ahead of the plan of God and then you make a mess out of your life. Because those feelings are real. If you know what I mean, those who are older, those feelings are real. And if you don't hold and control them, they're going to get you in trouble. They're going to get you in trouble. Don't get ahead of the plan of God like Eve did. See, Eve got ahead of the plan of God. And it felt good for the moment, but it caused death. All right? I'm just plain being raw with you. All right? Because I feel that you're growing up and I feel that you understand that.
Right, amen.
Amen? Don't go. And some of us probably in life went through that. Got ahead of the plan. And it wasn't the same. Sure, God, you know, there's a permissive will in life that God gives you. But my, it's so certainly so nice to be able to live in God. It's perfect will. Like Sister Gabby and Brother Ryan, amen, that I believe that God led them through, amen. And that's why I encourage you to read that testimony that he gave. Praise God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So there's a time for marriage. There's a time for these other things, amen. That's supposed to take place is after marriage, not before marriage. I'm just telling you this because I know Satan's sly.
Right.
Satan is it wants to destroy your life and does not want for you because if he can destroy your life that way, that means then he starts destroying your life spiritually.
Right.
Because now you don't want to come to church. See, when you're not serving God and when you're doing things behind your back, parents' back, and doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing, you don't want to come to church because you feel guilty. You don't want to serve God. You know what's right, but you don't want to fully give in because you feel guilty and because you don't want your parents maybe to realize that what you've been engaging in. So then you just act out a certain part. You see? And you act like everything is okay when in reality it's not. And in reality, you know what you got to do. Just be free.
Right.
If you know that you've done wrong or whatever, just let it go.
Right.
Give yourself to God and let him take care of it and be free.
Right.
Doesn't matter who what happens. Just be free, amen, in Christ. Serve him because the hour is late, amen. The hour is late and it's not time to play games. And I'm not saying that because I know something or nothing like that. I'm just encouraging you. Amen. I'm encouraging you as because we have younger people that are coming up into those stages now. Amen. That goes for my daughter, too. She just turned 14. See? And I know that she's going to have those wanting to have a boyfriend and things like that, you know. But I gotta let them know about these things. She's over there looking at me. All right, I'll shut it. All right, so getting back to this tree of life, amen. So this first Adam, he never obtained eternal life for his body, amen, due to his unbelief to the word, and he lost access to the tree of life. So we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man. God drove out the man. God drove out Adam. And he placed it at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
Amen.
So it was kept, you see? The way of the tree of life was guarded. Now, Brother Branham even ties in this flaming sword which turned every way. He ties it into even the beasts, the four combat beasts. Amen. Turning in every way for the east, north, west, and south. Amen. And they were there to keep the way of the tree of life, because look, God says in verse 22 there of Genesis chapter 3, says, and the Lord God said, behold, a man has become as one of us to know good and evil. You see, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. You see. So God was trying to prevent them from eating in that condition that they were in. But they were not, as Brother Dale's been bringing out, it was not to live eternally, but to live forever, the Bible says there. You see? God was hindering from that to happen. Brother Branham says in the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, Adam lost his inheritance, the earth. All right, and not just the physical, not just this earth, but the body, the change of the body. He lost that. Amen. Praise God. Now it passed from his hand to the one he sold out to, which was Satan. He sold his faith in God to Satan's reasonings. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth belonged to him. It belonged to him. And he forfeited every bit to the hands of Satan. He passed it from his hand to Satan. Therefore now it returned and has been polluted. And the seed of Adam has destroyed the inheritance that Adam should have had. That's the earth. Amen. The seed. Amen. Now Adam's seed. Praise God. It has destroyed that inheritance. That's why sex doesn't bring us back. you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Sex was what caused the problem.
Right.
And sex can't redeem you back to it.
Right.
As raw as that sounds, it can't.
Right.
Because there's some people that even kind of think that way. And even kind of preach on those lines. It can't bring you back to that. That's what polluted the whole thing.
Right. Exactly.
You see?
Right.
Praise God. Amen. So at that point, there was no way to have access to that tree of life again in its fullness.
Right.
I'm so glad you all are paying attention. I don't see one person sleeping tonight. That's wonderful. I'm going to give you all a clap. Amen. That's wonderful. I know it's hard on Wednesday night. I mean, the other night I was having a problem, and, you know, it's tough. I was having an issue staying awake. It's tough, I understand, but I hope that you're enjoying the Word.
Amen.
You know, and it's not me, it's the Word.
Amen.
We have a little bit more. Just hang on with me, because I have some things here. This wonderful thing that I read today that just blessed my soul. So there was no way to have access to that tree of life again. But while watch, there was no way to have access to that tree of life again in its fullness. You see, throughout all the ages, or throughout even before Christ came on the scene, the prophets and the Abraham and all the Davids, the Daniels, they had a form of, you know, of salvation. They were able to touch God, and God was able to work in their lives.
Right.
So it wasn't that they were completely restricted, you know, from the, but there was no born again process in their life.
Right.
And definitely no way for them to obtain even redemption for their bodies.
Right.
They were looking at these things from far off.
Right.
And they were desiring it.
Exactly.
Amen. But now we are looking at it right there in the pinnacle of it. Amen.
Amen.
We're right here, right on top of it, just looking at it. I mean, it's here.
Right.
It's not that it's coming, it's here. And it's just got to manifest from the inside out. Amen.
Right.
Saints,
glory.
Praise God. Because God is ever present.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. And last time we talked about the tabernacle of Moses. Amen. And I won't go into that just to save time. Amen. But we know what happened in the tabernacle of Moses. Only one, the priest could only go in there into the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Even the other priests, amen, they could only go to us, to the holy place.
Right.
There was the curtain there. That's as far as they got.
Exactly.
But the priest, one time, the high priest, which Jesus Christ is the high priest of our redemption. Amen. He could go in there with blood. Amen. And back there, be able to have full access. Amen. To the blessings of God. Amen. Now, even then, you see, the tabernacle of Moses, that wasn't even the full access to the tree of life, neither. As powerful as that was. I mean, can you imagine you being a high priest going back in the back, in the behind the curtain, and being able to partake of that original manna that fell the first time? They had a little bit of that manna still there, and it was always being renewed. It never spoiled behind that curtain, because the presence of God was always there. So you could always partake of it on a yearly basis. When the high priest would go in there with blood, amen, he would always see that tree, that limb, amen, that rod, Aaron's rod, budding. And it was not even connected to a tree. it was a branch, not even connected to a tree. And as I said last time, but yet it was connected to a tree, because the tree of life was back there, amen. The presence, amen, the glory of God. The word of God was back there. Moses' Ten Commandments. Oh, my, it was just wonderful. Goodness. I mean, you could talk so much about the word of God. Amen. It's all so interconnected. It's beautiful. I don't see how we can get bored. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So that's why the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the word, came himself to do what Adam failed to do. Now we're going back to what Jesus did now. Right. See, the first Adam failed. Here comes the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. And Jesus, amen, he defeated the enemy by the word. Right. Yeah. The way Adam was supposed to defeat the enemy by the word,
right,
he failed in doing that because he didn't take all the word. Yeah. But Jesus Christ, amen, he defeated the enemy by the full word,
right,
because he was the word. That's why it had to be God to come down and rescue us. Amen. It wasn't a son that he sent. It was God himself that came down to die for you and me and to save you and die. It was God himself. Amen. Through a virgin birth. The Bible says that it was Jehovah. Amen. It was God. God with us. Emmanuel. Even as a baby, that was God with us. Because see, Jesus Christ didn't come the same way that even Adam came. He came the way we came, except it wasn't through what man and woman did. It was what God did in the womb of Mary. But you see, because he came in through a womb of a woman, because that's how we come to this earth. Because he needed to be a kinsman redeemer. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why he had to come that way. Amen. Praise God. So he came, amen. Jesus defeated the enemy by the word. He died and resurrected in order to obtain eternal life for his own body and for our souls and bodies.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Exactly.
Praise God. Amen. We can read that in Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Right.
Romans 6:8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
Right.
Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Right.
Amen. Watch what Brother Branham says here in the True Easter Seal. I'm trying to go a little quickly now. And your limbs aching, and the little mothers with their babies and dads and aged and all waiting, watching to see one sign of the living God. Then see him moving on the scene and prove that he's Jehovah, that he's Jesus, the resurrected one. I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell, because he broke the seal of it. He broke the seal of death. He broke the seal of the tomb. He broke the seal of hell. He broke the seal of the grave. And he opened the seal to the tree of life. Amen. And watch. And baptized us by his Holy Spirit into that tree of life. And made us sons and daughters of God. Amen. So now it's not just touching it or just looking at the tree of life from far off. Amen. Now it's having that tree of life in us and you being in that tree. Remember, it's not a literal tree. It's a person. The person of Christ. Amen? That's what that tree of life is. Praise God. And so today we have that promise of not just receiving eternal life in our soul, but also eternal life on our physical bodies. Amen? Because he's the one who broke the seal of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And was the head and was the first fruits of the resurrection. The head. Amen. What do I always say? I was mentioning this to the brothers in Portugal there. What comes up from your pillow first when you wake up in the morning? It's your head. It's not your arm. Unless, like, you know, maybe some of us that might come off like this, you know, dragging from the... And it might be your arm. It might be your leg. I don't know. It depends on how you wake up. But a normal person wakes up, their pillow, their head off the pillow. Right? And that's exactly what Christ did. He's the one who came up first because he is the head. Right? And the body then follows what the head does, what the intelligence does. That's the reason if he raised from the dead, amen, then we must rise from the dead. And if he received redemption in his body, then we must receive redemption in our bodies as well. Hey, we're in that process right now, saints. I believe that with all my heart. The process is taking place right now, and it's happening faster than we think. So it's not time to play games with God. It's time to get serious with God. This word is coming, is being revealed even quicker. Amen. He said that he would. Amen. But the key thing is for that process, amen, to take place from your soul, from the inside out. That's the key. Remember what we talked about when we were talking about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, which is the life of God, this tree of life. That's the kingdom of God. It has to be, amen, rooted. It has to be rooted first. It has to be founded first in you. That it can then be manifested on the outside. You're not gonna take over earth, and you're not gonna possess the earth, amen, your earth and this earth, if you've not possessed, amen, if you don't have the possession in your soul. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. You're not gonna come here, amen, if you don't know how to even possess your own body, how to overcome temptations, how to overcome yourself, how to overcome bad thoughts, how to overcome all these things. How are you gonna overcome the elements? Do you see? Amen. So that way to the tree of life, it has been restored, saints. Brother Brown says in the resume of the ages, but there are no cherubim flaming swords to guard the tree of life now. Amen. The cherubims have been removed because Christ has already removed the seal of that tree of life. Now it's whosoever will come. Amen. It's access is open. Amen. Brother Brown says, oh, come take the tree of life. Now, instead of the cherubims, now I want to say something. Instead of those cherubims guarding this throne, they're out here seeking, trying to run people. Guard them to the throne, trying to bring them through the gate back to the tree of life again, that they might take this. And that's exactly what God is trying to do in this hour. Amen. And I believe all this stuff with the virus and everything that's going on around us is what God is trying to do to take us back to this tree of life. Amen. And when you're dependent on what you can get out of life, when you're dependent on your bank account and on the money that you have in the bank and your plans and everything, amen, God, amen, goes in there and just shakes that nest and says, amen, you got a tree of life to look to. And you don't look to these things of life. And you don't look to Donald Trump, and you don't look to politics, and you don't look to none of this. Amen. You got something better to look ahead, to look to. And it's that thing that God has given you in the new birth. Look to that, which is the Word. It's supposed to be the Word in you. Amen. To manifest on the outside to a full redemption in the body. Amen. Amen. Revelations 2:7, and we read it, but we'll read it again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Watch, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. It's to him that overcometh. Amen. The thing is that we want to be called overcomers, and we have not even overcome anything. Amen. There's something that you and I must overcome in this hour. And the main thing is overcoming ourselves. Amen. It's the greatest enemy that we have. Because Satan comes in and anoints us. Amen. Anoints us. Amen. But we must overcome ourselves. We're the greatest enemy that we look at every in the mirror. Satan can't make you do anything. You're the one to decide if you're going to do it or not. If you're going to think it or not. If you're going to say it or not. It's your decision. Amen. But remember, every time that you don't, it's like you just punched Satan in the face and gave him a big black eye. You see? And then you do it again the next day. And it's another black eye to Satan's eye. You see? On a daily basis, keep giving him black eyes. Amen? And with the decisions that you make. Amen. Praise God. To him that overcometh. Amen. But the thing is that the overcomer should already be in you.
Right?
But you can't do it on your own. It has to be Christ that already overcame. He's in you. That means you're an overcomer with him. Jesus Christ is the overcomer who conquered Satan, death, hell, and the grave. If Jesus Christ is in us in the form of the Holy Spirit, then that makes us equal overcomers with him. Brother Branham says here, he says, overcomers only that overcome the beast, overcome his mark. That's Catholicism, Protestantism, denominationalism. Let me just add worldlyism and Louisism and Bobism, Brother Dale-ism and Brother Donnie-ism and Brother whoever. Amen. To overcome all these isms. Amen. Let me just add that. Amen. Who overcome the beast, his mark, the letter of his name, he'll have a right to the tree of life, to enter into the gates where nothing that defiles can ever go in. See? Think of it. Now, just a minute. Now, as we just got a little bit farther, tree of life will be for the overcomers only. Amen. See, this tree of life is only for the overcomers. But God has opened the access for whosoever will, but he knows only the overcomers can come. Can only understand and really desire, amen, what? Because they're part of it. They're part of that tree. By that eternal life. Amen. Romans 8:11 tells us, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just hang on with me just a moment. Amen. So that process, amen, should be taking place in you right now. And it shouldn't take place tomorrow. It should take place right now. If you don't have the new birth in your life right now, get it. Amen. Tonight. You have no excuse. Amen. We pray with you. We whatever we need to do. Amen. But get God in your soul tonight. And you be sure that you have him. Amen. Right now in your soul. And don't wait till tomorrow what you can do today. Don't wait till tomorrow. There's no time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Do it tonight. Amen. Pray with your mom and dad. Ask them, Mom, what is Brother Luis talking about? Explain it to me. Amen. And you parents, be willing to do it. Don't just say, well, just keep listening to Brother Dale on Sunday. No, you should know the word too.
Right.
Don't depend on Brother Dale or Brother Wade or me or anybody to minister to. Amen. You explain the word of God to your kids. You should have the new birth in your soul. Amen. To know the word of God. You should know how to pray with them. You should know how to do devotionals with them. You should know how to do these things. Don't depend on anybody else to do that for you. That's why your young people go the way they do. Because us parents don't understand, don't know that we're supposed to do these things with them. And then you wonder why my kid is lost in the world. I'm sorry, but that's the case. It's not, Brother Branham said, it's not child delinquency, it's parent delinquency. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart. Now, let me read this book, this quote. It's lengthy, but this is the last thing. This is the last thing. Brother Branham says this. This is the whole summary of this whole matter. Now, I love this. This is the first time I read this today, to be honest with you, and I thought it was wonderful. In the Church Age book, the Ephesian Church Age, Brother Branham says this. Now that we have come this far, let me try to crystallize your thinking on this subject so you can see the necessity of our going into the serpent seed doctrine as I have. We start with the fact that there were two trees in the midst of the garden. The tree of life was Jesus. All right. The other tree is definitely Satan because of what came forth of the fruit of that tree. Right. Now then, we know that both of those trees had a relationship to man, or they would never have been placed there. Right. All right. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God in their relationship to mankind and to himself, or we could never impute omniscience unto God. In other words, amen, they must have been related to man in some way, or otherwise God would not have known anything, all things. And we know that he does. That's why he's called an omniscient God. Amen. Because he's ever present. And because he's ever present, amen, that's why he makes him omniscient. Amen. Now watch. Now the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. That, see, we talked about that, that was the desire of God from the beginning, was to share his eternal life. He had attributes that he wanted to express. Amen. You and I were part of those attributes, part of those eternal attributes that he wanted to express. Amen. See, now the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. Ephesians 1, 4 through 11, we just read that. And Revelations 13, 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, Satan, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Now watch, but that life, and I added this in parentheses, from the tree of life, you see. But that life from the tree of life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in the flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose for him to come into flesh. All right. This plan was to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen closely. And I say that to you. Listen closely. Read closely. God being a Savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. Amen. That's why Adam had to come to a sinful state. That would give then God a purpose and a reason, amen, to do what he did for us. And not just for us, he did it for Adam as well. But remember, it had happened in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. It was already done. Now watch, that is 100% correct. And multitudes of scripture bear it out, as does the very pointed verse of Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Man could not directly come and partake of that tree of life in the midst of the garden. They could not directly come and partake of it in that sinful state. That eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first.
Right.
Amen. I love that.
Amen.
That eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first. In other words, Christ had to become flesh.
Right.
So that way that man could be redeemed back to that tree. Amen. But before God could raise and save a sinner, he had to have a sinner to raise and save.
Right.
Amen. Man had to fall. Man had to fall. The fall which would be caused by Satan had to have flesh to make a fall. Satan had to come through flesh also. But Satan could not come through human flesh to make the fall, as would Christ come in human flesh to restore the fallen. See, that's where Satan made him. He thought that he could interject himself into the human race by going into the serpent. And he did, and it worked for what he thought it was going to happen. You know, he did what he did, but it wasn't amen. But he could not redeem, amen, like Christ could come in, amen, right, interject himself into the human race and redeem the race back to him. Amen. But there was an animal, the serpent, so close to man that Satan could get to that beast, and through that beast he could get to human flesh and cause the fall and inject himself thereby into the human race, even as Jesus would one day come and inject himself into the human race, into human bodies, even to the extent of a resurrection wherein we would have bodies like unto his glorified body. Amen. Thus, what God worked out here in the garden was his predestinated plan. Amen. And when, this is the last part, and when Satan had brought about that which was necessary to the purpose of God, then man could not get to the tree of life in the garden. See? In that condition. Certainly not. It wasn't time. Amen. But an animal had caused the fall, had it not? Talking about the serpent. Let animal life be shed. Was taken and his blood shed, and then God had communion with man again. But you see, that was that physical lamb that God killed and clothed, amen, Adam and Eve. But that was only just a covering for them.
Right.
It wasn't eternal. It wouldn't be eternal until Jesus Christ come and did the sacrifice, you see? See, God, that was God's permissive will. Amen. But God's perfect will was for them to be fully redeemed, restored. Amen. And then God had communion with man again. Then there was to come a day when God would appear in flesh. And by means of his humiliation, he would restore fallen man and make him a partaker of that eternal life. Once you see this, you can understand the serpent seed and know that it was no apple that Eve ate. No, it was the degradation of humanity by intermingling the seed. Amen. Praise God. I thought that was wonderful. And that just really summarizes everything that I've been trying to say here for the last hour and a half almost. That's exactly what God's been trying to do or has done in this our day. Amen. And we may have troubles on every side, saints. We may have problems and we see the situation around us. Amen. But take it as it's the tender hand of Jehovah leading us to that tree of life. You see what the Jews had to go through during the World War II and during that time? They went through terrible things. We're not promised, amen, that we're going to be protected from things like that. Something like that could take place. I don't know. You know? But let me tell you what. You have to keep in mind that it's God's tender hand leading us, amen, to the full redemption of our bodies. And I say, Lord, whatever needs to happen, you let it happen, Lord. Because the after event, afterwards, is more glorious than anything around us right now. Oh, my. That's more glorious, and amen, than the things currently happening. Amen. God's tender hand. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Do you love him?
Amen.
Do you believe his word? Do you believe that we've been redeemed in this hour? You believe that we have now full access to the tree of life. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's just sing a little song. Amen. And before we dismiss, just one quick song. Let's. Praise God. God is in full control in this hour. Amen. It's we the one that we get into. Let me tell you what, saints. Since January 1st, I have purposed in my heart to not even look at the news, to not even watch the news, to not even look at anything outside of the Word. And I tell you what, I feel so much better. Not knowing anything about Bill Gates, not knowing what Anthony Fauci's doing, or not know, amen. What they're doing, whatever. But I'm doing what I'm doing, amen, to get access to have that tree of life to come inside of me fully, amen, and to be redeemed on this outside. I want the full word, amen. So you should be, that should be your desire. That's an encouragement to you. It may be not the news. It may be whatever you've been engaging in, TV or whatever in your life that you have problems with, internet, whatever. Stop it. Take a 30-day fast. They say that after you've done something for 30 days, you'll continue doing it. Just do it for 30 days. I believe that you'll be much better off.
Glory.
Amen. Praise God.
In the garden, 309.
I come to the garden alone. While the zoo is still on the road.
And the voice
I hear. If you have a need of prayer, we're more than willing to pray. But God can meet your need right there where you're at. I believe that. He's here. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we carry there, none other. Just sing that last verse, brother, boy. Garden. Amen. See, we're going back to that garden, amen. The garden is not a location, amen. It's a condition, amen. It's a state. And we're going back to that position, amen. As we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, let's just give the Lord a clap of praise. He's worthy of it. So thankful for what you've done, Lord. Amen. All hearts and minds clear? Have anything pressing? Okay. Let's just bow our heads. Amen. Let's be dismissed. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much once again for the opening of Your Word, Lord Jesus. And we appreciate, Father God, not just what You've done, Lord, and not just what You will do, Father, but all that You are doing now, Lord, because we believe that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You have given us full access to this tree of life, Lord, in this hour. Lord, help us to stay in tune with that tree. That we might be in that tree and that tree in us, Lord. Oh, God Almighty, we love You. We thank You. Be with our brothers and sisters as they head back to their respective homes, Lord. Just protect them. Watch over them. Give us rest throughout the night. Bring us back, Lord, Sunday to be able to worship You in spirit and in truth and to feast on Your Word once more. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. We thank You, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed.